Print Coast to Coast. This podcast is brought to you by Print Coast to Coast, located on Savannah Road, just east of Five Points. From business cards to banners and everything in between, Print Coast to Coast is locally owned. So think outside of the box store. Shop at a business that is owned by your neighbors. More than just a print shop, they are like your own marketing team and are the local experts in every door direct mailings. Print Coast to Coast.
This is the Film Effect with Tiff.
I think that I am familiar with the fact that you are going to ignore this particular problem until it swims up and bites you on the ass.
And now we're recording.
That was pretty impressive. Wait, no. Are you going to play
recording.
It again, or is that already recorded?
No, I made that intro. That's all me, man.
That's a really great intro.
Well, what I'm doing...
You got a good Dreyfus there, man.
Yeah,
nice.
Well, I love Dreyfus. And I've been using, like, if people that you guys... Hi, welcome, everybody. This is Tiff. This is the Film Effect. And if you can guess from that little quote, which I know maybe some of you can or you can't.
I hope so. I mean,
I know.
Jesus.
I mean, I would know right away, but I don't know. But this is... Why don't you introduce yourself?
Hi, I'm Rob Waters, and I'm a filmmaker, and we're going to talk about...
You can say it, yeah.
Talk about my favorite film, Jaws.
Yes.
So you've not figured it out from the quote in the beginning.
Yes.
Is that your favorite quote, or did you just like randomly
think
of that?
No, I have different quotes, actually. I've like, I just like try to pick one and slam it in there. I kind of like it to be a little ambiguous at times. There's so many great lines from the movie Jaws. But some of them, I think everyone knows. That one seems like a little...
Yeah, that one's... If you use, like, a bigger boat, we're going to need a bigger boat, that is the...
That's the line.
That's the line
that's
everyone
the line.
Knows.
Yeah.
Which was ad-libbed.
I know. See, now here we're getting... This is why I'm psyched that you're here, because, like...
some serious...
You're a film person. I'm a film person. So you're going to know... And I was like, he's got to know so many, like, little
facts.
Oh, I know.
Yes. I know a plenty.
You know plenty? Yeah.
I mean, I am very, very obsessive... About Jaws, very.
Wow, well, how did this begin? Tell me.
God, where to begin? I don't know. It's kind of, you know, like you have, when you start listening to music as a kid, and some bands fade away, but other bands that like kind of like were the bedrock of what you love, you still go back to. It's like Springsteen or Elvis Costello or something like that. Something you always go back to. Jaws is kind of like that for me.
It is.
Where I loved it as a kid. And because I came to it, not late, but I knew it from like Jaws 3 and Jaws 4 because those were on cable at the time because I was at that age and they were in the theater. And that's what I thought Jaws was.
Yeah.
And then I was at the beach with my parents and it was on TV and my dad just said, we're not going to beach. You're going to watch this because this is what... You're watching all those other shitty Jaws. You need to actually watch the real thing because my dad's a big film buff.
Oh, is he? I was going to say, I feel like if you like this movie... You had a parent that loved this movie because I was like, I think it was 75. I was only like 3 years old. I mean, I wasn't old enough yet. So you're right.
I was 1 year away from being born. So.
Okay. So like, you know, there were all those older, you know, the sequels. And then I had a parent too that was like, my dad is obsessed with this movie as well. And it was the same kind of story actually where he was like, you know, you have to watch the original Jaws. You know?
Yeah.
And that was like amazing. Yeah.
Just no one knew that's like, this is. Okay, yeah, your first half is your typical horror thing that like Spielberg kind of created for it. But then you have an adventure film for the second half.
I know.
And it's like no one even knows that's there. And that is by far the greatest thing of it. I've taught this a lot in my class.
Oh, you have? Yes. What do you use to teach everything or just specific parts?
Just specific things
filmmaking.
That it like there's a few things. One, so before my class. I always show a scene. One of my favorite movies, I show a scene that I think was very different or just completely kind of changed the game in certain things. So when I just started doing that this year with my class, playing like the scenes before the class. And the first one I did was the Indianapolis speech, the whole big scene.
It's
where
my freaking favorite.
Where
man.
They're sitting around, but like the whole scene, not just the speech, like them like talking about their scars and all this. And then it breaks down to the end. And eventually I ended when the shark starts attacking the boat. But the reason I bring this up is this was kind of like your horror action type film. And before this, you never had these moments where the characters stop running and sit down and actually like get to talk to each other and get to know each other. And it's a brilliant thing in that it raises the stakes for the third act because you care a little bit more about these characters than you did before. Right. They actually have a bond. And I was like, so every action movie since then has had this third act, hey, let's get together. We're a family. There's a lot of that now.
Yeah.
But before this, it really wasn't done much. I never really saw it done, especially to this level of greatness. And they all wrote that the night before.
See, now you know more than me. You're going to have to take the lead, man. But real quick, I do this every time. I'm going to give the details of this film, and now I can't seem to find what I pulled up before. Why don't you tell me real quick, what your memory is of watching the first Jaws?
The first time?
Yeah, the first time, with your dad or whoever you were watching it with. How did you process that experience? And
So we're on vacation in Ocean City, New Jersey, because that's where my family.
Did
vacation.
You really go there?
Yeah, we're Ocean City, Jersey guys. Wilmington.
I grew up in Bucks County in Philly, and I used to spend my summers going to Sea Isle.
Oh.
Isn't that weird?
My dad owned a place. His family owned a place in Sea Isle.
Really?
And then they sold it for nothing, and he hates it now because.
Oh, man.
So you grew up there. Do you know what's like Dewey Beach now?
I didn't. You know, it's weird. I grew up I didn't grow up there, but we would go there every summer for weeks at a time. And my dad's father, when I was little, owned a breakfast shop in Sea Isle. So that was the pull, is that that's why we would go there. And then my cousins still go to that beach every summer. But we moved to Maryland when I was in middle school. So then I started going to Ocean City, Maryland.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
But I still, I still have a love for that location and that beach just because...
I love Ocean City. I love the Jersey. Well, the waves are actually good in Jersey too.
Oh, right.
Yeah. It's you can't ride in. That's why, my family never went to the Delaware beaches because there's no waves to ride. It was just crash right on the beach.
Right.
So it's kind of pointless. But yeah, my dad owned a place in Ocean City. Well, his family did, not Ocean City, Sea Isle. The crazy thing is, so we were kids, and probably when you went there, there was nothing there. It was just this tiny little town. If you've gone back there in the past 5 years, when I say it's Dewey, it's Dewey.
I haven't been in a while. Yeah.
It's a big college drinking town. It's really surprising. It's completely just one bar and drunken thing after the other.
That's
Dewey.
That's crazy.
It's weird.
That is weird.
So anyway, yes. So anyway, I was in Ocean City.
Yes.
Got off topic.
Backtrack.
Yeah.
No, it's all good. It's all good.
And we were going to go to the beach, but it was just one of those things where it was on TV and my dad's you should watch this. We're going to sit down. We're going to watch this. And I just remember, just the story. It caught me by such a surprise where I knew Jaws before.
Were you scared of movies like that at that age?
Not really.
Lucky you. Yeah.
I mean, I guess don't get me wrong. I was still a little scared.
Yeah, yeah.
But, I still have a hard time watching Quint die and all that kind of stuff.
It's such a bummer.
It's a tough one.
Well, because he almost died from sharks the first time, in his story, Indianapolis, and then that's his fate, is to die that way.
He's the Ahab.
He is. Right. Okay. So continue. I can tell with us, we could talk over each other, go off on 100 tangents, which is fine.
If you want to steer it back whenever, that's fine.
Keep up, people. Keep up. This is how it goes.
It's a podcast.
You just have to follow. Just if you get lost, just get on the internet, try to look something up.
Yeah.
No, but
Should I say fake things in there to throw them off so they can just...
You're and then when I was 5, my mom taught me... No, just...
My mom touched me in a really weird way, I remember everything.
Yeah, that's when I thought of Jaws.
That's when I thought of Jaws.
Playing in the background. Another horror movie by itself.
Yes. Anyway, it was just one of those things that when I just started watching, was completely obsessed. And I just got more obsessed with it over the years because it's always aged well to me. And
I think so, too. Yeah.
There's so many things that happened by chance on that film that made it what it is. If it went out exactly how they wanted to, how they storyboarded it, how they expected it to go, it would have been, it still would have been great because it's Spielberg, but it wouldn't have been the magic that it is.
I know. And I think that's why I like it so much is I was, I actually put it on last night and my kids know I'm obsessed with this movie. They've seen me watch it 100 times. And actually I was it was a very sweet moment. Costello was are you going to watch Jaws? And I'm yes, I'm watching Jaws. And she's I want to watch it again with you. I was yes.
Yes.
Come over with me, And then we just sat and we talked. And she was talking about all those things, too. And I was sharing some of those little background stories about how the movie was made. Because I know a little bit too. I don't know it probably. I wonder how much you know. But there's a lot of interesting.
Enough that you're going to feel awkward about this by the end. I know so too many things.
Do you? Okay, so let's real quick. I'm going to go back and just for people that are listening. If you haven't seen Jaws, please go see it immediately.
By the way, to the crowd, I'm not usually this stuffy sounding. My child is a little. Do I sound okay?
I think you sound good.
I sound like a really stuffy weirdo. Well, anyway, okay.
Do you? We'll talk about that with later.
Okay. Can we put a filter on me? Something sure. Like, you know.
I was going to just like black out your face and just we'll make it like one of those Dateline episodes where nobody knows who you really are. So this movie was, it came out in 1975 and Steven Spielberg, of course.
His second film.
What was Duel? No, I know he did a lot of TV.
Something Express.
Trivia.
Goldie Hawn was in it, and the guy that was the asshole in Ghostbusters was a boyfriend.
Really?
Yeah, it was a really good movie. You could see in Spielberg. Now, I guess you could say Duel was the first movie, but that was made for TV.
That's what I was going to say, TV, and then he directed a lot of TV.
Yeah.
But yeah, so this movie is directed by Steven Spielberg, one of his early movies. He was just a sweet little baby.
He's a little kid. This almost broke him.
Fucker. Anyway, and I love you. But yeah, I mean, I remember being like wanting to be a filmmaker and thinking like, God, how do you get that lucky? You know, that's crazy. But he's amazing and he was talented and he deserved it. And so this was written by Peter Benchley, the screenplay and also the book. Carl Gottlieb, I guess, and him did the screenplay. It says that it stars Roy Scheider. What am I saying?
Scheider.
Yeah. Robert Shaw, Richard Dreyfuss. There's obviously more. Who played the wife? Lorraine Gary played Ellen Brody. We've got a bunch of other people. But so that's the basic. And those main three actors are the ones that we remember from the film. At least I do. And we're obviously with Roy Scheider. I feel like I'm saying that wrong. So that's the gist. And it is weird to think about because I'm like thinking, how did I see this movie? I don't have a clear memory because I was born in 73. So how the hell? And I have a very vivid memory of going to Disneyland or Disney World, one in California, and going on that Jaws ride, which was like amazing and like such a cool experience.
Oh yes, the Jaws.
I think I was five. So what the hell's wrong with my parents? Am I watching this movie when I was like 5 years old? It's possible, actually.
It was such a part of the culture. You know, there wasn't any way around it. You know, it's like everyone knew about the shark movie. So.
I know, and it was such a I really wish I could like go back and see the time, what was happening at that time. Because that movie did send a lot of things.
Because the sequel came out, Jaws 2 came out after, like 2 years after.
I don't know. We should look that up.
Look that up. You got that computer thing in front of you.
I do have this computer thing in front of me, and I have nerdy notes. All right, so why don't we, let's get into it. So if you have stuff to share, you want to talk about the background of it or just the making of, that stuff is pretty interesting.
The biggest note of Jaws is that the shark didn't work.
Right.
That is like kind of the biggest, that's where the most changes happened, where the story where I say is like, when a problem happened, they actually made a better movie because of it.
Yeah.
And that's kind of what I'm teaching class. It's one of the reasons, that's one of the main things I bring up about it, where one of the reasons I love making films is that things rarely ever go the way they're supposed to. Like so many things tend to go wrong and you have to kind of roll with the punches. You have to make something of it. You can't just go, well, I'm going to go home and just say no, but you have to make it work. And that's what they did. Do you want to get into like?
Sure, let's get into
the barrels and all that kind of stuff.
Yeah, like, I mean, I my notes are kind of silly because I do have all that to discuss, but like some of the stuff I just talk about the parts that I love.
Let's go with your notes.
We'll talk about that. And I do think you're right. I mean, I did go to film school. I've been saying this a lot. I'm like maybe I like should be doing more film stuff considering I don't lately, but in my life for years. But yeah, I mean, one thing I've learned from doing shorts and things is it's a collaborative effort. So everybody puts a piece in. So whatever you're thought of you know, think in your head about making something, whatever your idea is, whatever you're taking a script, there's no way it can't be affected by all these other people coming mm-hmm. into it. So, and I think that's why I love movies, is because it did take all these people and everybody had a hand in it, and it does become what it becomes. It's not like you have such a say. I mean, you do have a say, but it's, you got to let go a little bit. A little bit, I think. And this movie is such a great example of that. And then being able to piece it together, which is like a miracle, you know, when something goes haywire.
Well, they're rewriting it constantly.
Right.
Because, one, this is probably one of the very few times where the movie is so much better than the book.
Yeah.
Because I read the book, too.
Did you read the book?
I read the book, too. Oh, there's so many things in it.
You did all the things. Yes.
I went all the way through. Oh, my God. Like,
I got to read the book, then.
Oh, the book sucks.
Is it really bad?
It's not really bad. It's just, if you love the movie, there's things in the book where it's like, oh, F you guys, man. Oh, wait. It's a podcast. I can curse.
You can say whatever you want.
But, so, Brody's wife and Hooper have an affair in the book.
Oh, my God.
Yeah. It's gross.
Cheesy.
Yeah. And it's like a whole other structure, and like, you know, they, you know, Chief Brody and Hooper kind of hate
happen?
Each other because of it.
Oh,
yeah, it's just,
that's weird.
Throw it in there for like your tabloid, like reading on the beach, kind of like, oh, there's some sex in this too. There's a shark and
like,
sex.
Ooh, death.
I didn't,
sharks.
This is so great. And like, you know, Quint's barely a character, and it's
wow.
And essentially, I think the shark just dies of indigestion.
Is that right?
Yeah, I think it just dies of indigestion.
That's kind of interesting.
Yeah.
From just eating all these people?
Yes, like it ate something and didn't like it. Just like kind of like just went belly up.
It's so subtle.
Yeah. That's why Spielberg was like, we got to change the ending.
Right.
You know,
right.
We got to figure out a way to make this a little more explosive.
I think he understood audiences, you know. He knew. He was like, they were not going to, that's bullshit.
That's
you know, we can't make this happen that way. Yeah. So just little notes. Like I was writing things down as I watched it last night. I love the opening scene that we're just getting right into it, you know, like there's no messing around. You're just, it's like, boom, someone dies instantly. And that whole comfortable setup, I think what was great about the story, and maybe that's why this movie became such a huge thing, is that going to the beach and going swimming and the whole vacation town thing is what we all kind of thought is this very safe idea.
Sure.
So everybody's like, of course, like that's me. I'm at, you know, at a bonfire with my friends, you know, whatever. And it just totally took that idea and just like scared the shit out of you. It's like, you know what? No, actually, this is not a safe situation.
I've known so many people that don't go in the water because of Jaws.
I know. And it's like, and it's not even real. I'm like, that doesn't even happen that much. Like, I think
not much, but
it can happen. It's like anything that can happen, like a plane can crash or like you could get into a car accident. But what are the odds of that actually happening? Right.
I mean, I got bumped once. And
did you really?
I did not go back in for quite
shit.
A while. Yes.
How did you know?
Because I felt the bump and I saw the fin, and then I was on the sand before I even knew what happened.
Wow.
I was just like on the sand, like, okay, that was
wow.
Yeah, it was stupid. It was right at the time you're not supposed to be in the water.
Really,
like dusk,
what's that time? Oh,
like dusk and okay. Like either dusk and sunset. Like those are the times where
yeah, like in the beginning, it's like basically
you shouldn't be in the water. I mean, you can
don't
but,
get naked and get in this.
You know,
just don't do it.
It
people.
Was just one of those
just
things.
Keep
where
your clothes
it was
on.
Stupid. I was going to ride waves, and then it just. Yeah.
You know, and this is a side thing I just thought of because I was raised Catholic. I'm like, there was a part of that that felt very like, she's a bad girl. She's a bad girl, and she might deserve to be eaten by a shark.
It's true. Took her clothes off?
She did. She was being naughty. She's like, hey, you, let's go. Let's go swimming. I'm going to get naked. And then, of course, he passes out on the beach, which is so funny. She's just like flailing around, getting murdered by a shark, and he's just like passed out asleep. And I love the shot to him. It's like, all this is happening, and then they're like, he's not helping her. This is toast.
Yeah.
She's done.
And she almost actually drowned in real life.
Did she really?
Because of the contraption that they had her in where she was being flailed all around.
Jesus, she was great.
And
that was a scary scene, actually.
She said like part of that acting was her actually like drowning. It wasn't like, so a lot of it wasn't quite acting. Like I actually got scared because the machine was just doing it.
Yeah.
And,
oh my God.
And it kind of like sunk a bit. So she actually went under and divers had to go down and give her air.
Oh my God.
Because she went down and like, she's not coming back up, and they had to go down and give her air, and you know
that's really scary.
Can you imagine just sitting there like, this is how I'm going to die in a contraption?
Yeah, you're like, great, I'm going to die being like my 2 second of acting.
Yeah, for what everyone thought was going to be like a C-level movie, you know, like
right. But I love the way that happened too. Like I'm sure, like you said, it was probably chaotic in the making of it, but like It throws her around, and then there's kind of like this little moment where she holds on to the buoy, and it's like a pause where you're kind of like, well, maybe she's going to be okay for like a split second, and then it's like, nah, she's done. Like he does that thing a lot throughout the movie where he gives you these little moments of like reprieve, and then you just go, fuck.
Yep.
It's not really going to happen that way. And I love that. I love that about the way he does that instantly. It's just cool.
Well, my dad saw it in the theater.
Yeah.
And it's hard to believe this now, but it was such a gory movie for the time.
Oh, yeah.
And it was PG, which is crazy to think.
That is crazy. Yeah. There's like legs cut off. Yeah, I know. And like
just huge gushers of blood.
Yeah, that's sick.
But she said that my dad was like, you know, people actually threw up in the audience. Like,
no way.
Yeah, they actually threw up, had to leave. There's a lot of, like, people were just getting sick. Like, at his screening that he was at, like,
That's like being an usher then, really, your job sucked. Yeah. You had to clean up puke. You weren't
ready for it.
No, you're like, I got to clean up puke right now. That's not a fun job.
But I mean, considering, like, Quint's death is brutal. It's even brutal. Even by today's standards.
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
It's one of the reasons I love Spielberg so much is that he can create the sweetest, most heart-wrenching moments. And then he also has created the most disturbing moments that I've ever seen on film to me.
Yeah.
Like the Quint dying, Saving Private Ryan, there's a scene where a guy gets stabbed. Do you remember when the guy gets stabbed and they essentially...
No, but I have to like... That movie overall just was like, whoa. You know, just the opening sequence.
There's something about a pleading that I have a hard time with.
Oh.
So, there's a character in Saving Private Ryan. We're going off on a tangent.
That's okay. We can do what we want. Yeah, it's my show, damn it. Everyone right. Follow Saving Private Ryan.
So one of the main characters is fighting this German soldier, and the German soldier overpowers him and has a knife going down his chest. So you know that cliche where someone's like has a knife going in, but they always kind of like, God, hit it away. And, you know, it's always something like that.
Yeah.
This was a very realistic, disturbing one where he was losing and it was slowly going into him. And he's like, no, stop. We can stop. And the German soldier is saying, just let it happen. It's almost done. Ugh. And just this really gut-wrenching. And actually, like, the actor's mother had to walk out of the theater when they showed it. Like, it was too disturbing because...
Yeah, he has a way. And not to jump to that scene, but one thing I was paying attention to, that scene happens and there's literally no music. None. Which I was like, wow, he really wanted it to feel real. Because it feels really real when Quint gets eaten by the shark.
Yeah.
And I just, that was another note. I'm like, holy shit, no music whatsoever there. Like, just quiet. Just the sound of the shark and him screaming. And
just the pounding
the
back and forth. And the.
I was like, that is so effective. Like, it would have, I feel like if he had music there, it wouldn't feel like it did, which was to really shock you.
And then the blood spit up. Can't forget that.
Oh, my God.
Oh, man. Thing. That's just.
That's a great scene. But he does have this ability, and I think that's like, I was thinking about E.T. too. The kids know I love this scene. I love this scene when he's at home, and he's having dinner, and his son and him are at the table. And
that's
it's like
actually
a very,
my favorite scene.
Yes, and right it's now. Actually a very Spielberg moment to me, where they just let that happen. And I don't know if that was orchestrated or more in the moment. I don't ever know.
I think they wrote it the day before.
Did they?
Yeah.
But it's a great moment, and it's important. And I don't know. I just love that. I was like, this is like why I love Spielberg, because of that moment. And if you guys know what I'm talking about, there's a scene where Brody is at dinner, and he's just dealing with this problem, you know, that's like a really big problem now. And he doesn't know what to do. He's stressed out, and his son is sitting next to him. And they start mimicking each other. He mimics his father, and they have this connection, and it's kind of like, you know, I need some love right now, kid. I'm having a hard time. It's just a sweet scene. Yeah.
Another great part of that is his wife is sitting in the background watching,
right, yeah.
And like when eventually Hooper like knocks on the door, she's a little startled because she's so in that moment at that time, because it's so moving to her to watch this.
It's great. It's all those little things. Like, I think he was so great at he's so good at creating those characters that you just love, you know. It's like you're just so with these people.
Yeah, he's good at stepping away from like the action. Like so many movies now are just straight up like, all right, here we go. We're just propelling this whole movie forward.
It's like once you're on the train, you're just in.
Yeah.
It's like boom, you know, and then there's no little moments like that. Do you think that's like the times though? I feel like movies from the 70s took more time to do that kind of stuff.
I think so. Yeah.
Like, I kind of love that. Like, I feel like now I go to a movie and it's like, Jesus Christ. And, like, the music is insane. It's like telling me to feel every scene. I'm like, okay, you know, and then I'm like, whoa, just.
It's also part of us knowing everything at this point.
Is that? Like, oh, because we've seen all the things.
Everything. Yeah. But you always go back to something like Jaws. Like that might have been the first time you've seen something like that done. Mm-hmm. Like that kind mm-hmm. of just take it. We're going to take a step back. And that's kind of one of the problems of starting to make films for personal, like for me, is
yeah,
that
yeah.
once you kind of start to figure out everything behind the curtain, some of the magic is kind of gone.
Really? You think so?
Sometimes for me. But every once in a while, a movie will come along and they'll just
blow
me away.
And I can turn it off. I'm like, no, I'm going to be a viewer right now. Fuck it.
I have a hard time turning it off.
Do you?
Yeah, I do.
Well, you're teaching it too, and that makes it harder.
Yeah.
Like, because you're living in that mode of like using, you know, how am I going to show these kids?
How am I going to bore my students today with
how
this?
But you're right, and I can't turn it off because I do notice things from my background, and like I said, even going back to these notes, there's, you know, show don't tell, and there's also mm-hmm. You know, in movies you can either show things or you can use dialogue to tell a lot, and I love that Brody is kind of, he doesn't say a lot, you know, even from the beginning we're just kind of watching him deal with the situation without a lot of words. And I like once they go and discover the body on the beach, okay, mm-hmm. so this girl gets killed in the beginning, they go and find the body. It's obvious this is a real fucking problem now. And they don't know exactly what they're going to do. And instead of him, like, even addressing it yet, it's like now we're in the town. And he's just, like, scrambling through the neighborhood of the town. Like, he goes into a store and he gets some, you know, sticks. And he's going to, like, make a sign.
Sure.
But they don't tell you that. You just see him.
And I love the marching band in the background.
Yeah, like, you just see the town. You're getting a feel for, like, okay, it's summer. Everybody's mm-hmm. here. This is not a great thing. And then now he's got to quietly try to deal with this without making everybody upset. And that's what he does. He's like scrambling. And I love the way that it's such a subtle thing, but for people like you and me, like to me, that was such a choice. Like
yeah.
he didn't say anything. He just went and did that. And we're like watching him deal, which is really awesome. And
you're getting economy storytelling too, because as he's walking yeah. down the street, everyone is stopping him to talk about all these like little town bullshit kind of things.
Yeah. Yeah. Where they're like, oh, yeah. 4th of July's coming and it's going to be.
Those kids are in front of my fence again and all that
yes,
kind of stuff. All those little
yes.
things where it's like, he has so much more in his mind now than these tiny little things. And also, he was a New York cop, so this is all just piddly crap to him.
I know, and I feel so bad for him, right? He comes to the beach thinking his job's going to be super cushy. He's like, yeah, I'll just be a beach cop. And then suddenly, like, within the moment he gets there, it's like this crazy problem. And it's like you just feel for him. And they do raise, you know, they're creating that tension where it's like they're raising the stakes a little bit. It's like, this isn't the right time of year for this. It's like all of a sudden all these people are in his face and he's like, oh shit, you know, I got to do something. And so I love little stuff like that. So that was one of the other things that I noticed in the beginning. I don't know.
Hell, I live in Lewis. And
yeah.
one of the reasons I love Lewis is it looks like Amity.
It does. And us, for all the people living here, guys, think about this. Like, what would they do? Could you close a beach here? Like, that's a really serious thing. Like,
well, I mean, Martha's Vineyard closed down for a while.
Did it?
Yeah, I think it was, you know.
But I think, like, about being in that moment and being in a beach town, which doesn't feel that different now, you know?
If a real production came to Lewis, that town would shut down in a second
yeah.
to do it.
But I mean, like, if we had a shark attack where somebody ended up dead on the beach, like, would they close the beaches? Like, what would they do? I was thinking that. I'm like, would they do that here?
I think they would.
Or would there be political bullshit and they'd have to decide?
I think now, especially with the information age and also mm-hmm. like shark attack is just such a big thing now. Not that it happens all the time, but everyone pays attention to it.
They would feel, you know, maybe that's an interesting part of this, how this movie was received, is that it made people take it more seriously
yeah,
in
no
a
one
sense
really
that
thought
like
about
now
shark attacks.
Nobody would question it. They'd be like, oh yeah, of course, close the beaches.
Yeah.
Duh.
Like,
we've
time,
seen Jaws.
Yeah, exactly.
We've seen a fictional movie to tell us that.
These aren't barracudas. These are sharks.
Yeah, they're like, all right, man, close the beach. But I think that's an interesting thing too, like how the movie, like, you know, changed our ideas around.
Mm-hmm. Oh, you know what? I got
the culture of the beach.
I know this is bad for radio, but I'm going to show
it
anyway. So, like
what
I said, I'm a bit of a Jaws fanatic. So I have all this artwork around my house. So there's this company called Mondo. Do you know Mondo?
No, I don't.
So
tell
they're
me.
In Austin, and they kind of, like, it's a collection of artists.
Okay.
And they kind of recreate classic movie posters, but, like, new and interesting
oh, wow.
ways.
Oh, how cool is that?
So I have, like, a big framed one. So
oh
take a look at that,
God,
and I'll
what?
Explain the story behind it.
Yeah.
What happened
Well,
the
maybe
other day.
I can post this on my Facebook later.
Yeah, yeah,
if
okay.
you want to share it with me. so that people can...
You see, that's...
You know,
that's
all my thousands of listeners out there, guys. I know you're dying to see the photo.
It's an amazing work of art. But, so... Yeah. To let everyone know, this is a recreation of the scene where they're walking down the beach and they discover the dead body.
Yeah.
That's so you have Brody and the dude that fell asleep on the beach, and then you see the cop kind of kneeling down, and they're like walking towards that. So
it's great.
My son, it's like one of those times where kids say the damnedest thing and you get used to that, but this one really kind of like shocked me. So my son got really interested in it last week. And so he was like standing up on the couch and like, who's this?
Yeah.
So I was like, oh, that's Chief Brody. And that's a guy that fell asleep on the beach. And that is his deputy right there.
Yeah.
And he looked at it and frowned and got a little sad. I was like, what's wrong? He's like, someone died. And then he got off the couch. I was like, oh my God, that is so bizarre.
He got it, but it's like... Yeah, that's so funny.
There's no dead body. There's no nothing like that. It's just he's like, someone died.
Well, he's got your genes. Maybe he's like already putting the pieces together.
He gets it, man.
He gets it. He's going to be a film kid. How can he not, you know? I think that's why, like, even my kids, even though they don't seem that interested, they will tolerate these Halloween movies I do with them because they know that I'm like me. And they just like, they're like, all right, let's do it for mom.
I mean, that was one of the first times I was kind of introduced to you.
Oh, I know. Was it?
Well,
how did that happen?
Yeah, it was when I saw... I mean, we met each other at Meineke. That's how we met.
Right, we did. Yeah, that's so random.
That's how we met.
That's how annoying I am. Like, I meet a random stranger and I hear like, oh, wait, movies, TV? Hey.
Yeah, I think I was drawing something. You're like, what are you doing? Why are you drawing?
I'm like, please, I don't know anyone here. You don't understand. I felt like for the longest time being here, I'm like, there's nobody that cares about this shit. No one. I'm the only weirdo that cares. And then I saw you and I was like, you guys do what? What? It was like so funny to me.
You look like a weirdo.
Yeah, good. You're my people. Right. Good stuff.
So,
yeah.
But you told me about your family and like your movies and you sent it to me and I was just amazed. I just thought that was the coolest thing I had seen in a long time.
Oh, I love it.
Thank you. I just think that's wonderful you guys do that.
Yeah, I'm like I said, it's my thing and I don't always do the best job of it, but it doesn't matter.
It matters. Just making it, man.
No, it's just fun. And they like... I don't know. They put up with it. I think they like it. What's been cool, actually, is the kids, even when I've had years when they don't totally get into it, they like to go back because now they're older and it's like a weird way of looking back on your childhood. It's like this thing they've all done together. And they'll every Halloween, it seems like now, they'll just put all the old ones on and they'll be like, oh my God, look at you. You were so little. Oh my God. Like, your voice doesn't change yet. Like, so they get a kick out of just seeing themselves like younger, which has been kind of cool. But yeah, I love it. So if anybody's listening, you guys don't know what I'm talking about. I do the strange thing with my family and I make a Halloween movie with them every year.
It's so great.
And it's like become, you know, it's become our little family tradition. Sometimes I feel like Spielberg where my actors suck and they're arguing and like everything's falling apart.
You got to make it work.
Yeah. But we really don't even plan that much. I usually do it in like a day. And I scramble and then I just throw it together. And then what we do is which they don't really trick-or-treat now, but they'll on Halloween, we'll go trick-or-treat, and they don't get to see the final thing until after trick-or-treating.
Oh, so I didn't know that.
That's
great.
How we do it.
That's
so, like,
so cool.
Yeah, so they go out, they come home, we get the candy, and then we sit down and we screen the Halloween movie, which is like a great reveal for Halloween night. But so that's our little family weirdness that we do. I'm very influenced by all these movies. You know, these movies affected me. That's why I like having this podcast to talk about it. I still don't get tired of doing it, like looking at films and coming up with all this like detail stuff. And I get excited about the dumbest things. I don't know why I'm like,
no, I don't say it's dumb. It's just, it's your interest.
Yeah, it is. It's my art, I guess, that I'm attracted to. Maybe it's storytelling. I don't know.
I think it's storytelling.
Do you think it's the core of it is storytelling?
I mean,
for you, like, is it that, or do you find like, you gravitate towards certain parts of it and not others?
I love all of it, but storytelling is probably what I like most. Mm-hmm. You know, I love all the visual styles and all that. It's funny. There's a lot of videographers, not to shit on any other videographers around here.
Just do it. Talk shit.
But I see a lot of them, and they're really good at just putting, like, clips to music, but I never really see them tell a story.
Right.
And that, to me, is the most interesting thing, is telling a story. Like, you know, your footage can be relatively shitty and not really that well put together, but if you're telling the story right and you have a good story to tell, people will not give a shit. It can be made on your phone, which has happened. Like, There's been movies up for Oscars.
Yeah, it's true.
That were made on cell phones because the story was strong.
Yeah,
so,
yeah.
I mean, obviously, you always want to be the best visual person you can, but story's king, no matter what.
No, it really is, and that's why the medium's always going to change. Mm-hmm. So I think that's so important for people to understand, like, especially students to understand, is like, what are you trying to say? You know, it's like you can put a lot of stuff together, but if there's no story, no one's going to care. You know, I think that's the one thing I learned about it. Hard to do, though. It's like hard to do, I think, sometimes. Like,
it's hard to come up with a story.
Yeah, that's true, too. And I think it's hard, like, I don't know, directing actors is an interesting thing.
I mean, I've failed millions of times trying to. I mean, I've been making movies since I was a little kid. So
Right.
This is like the flashback to my childhood where I was kind of like obviously surprised the director in the neighborhood and just, you know, we would just make these movies.
It's so awesome.
And I can always tell my students they have no idea how lucky they are that they have all this software and all this stuff that they can make.
Yes.
They can make it. Because we had a VHS, you know, whatever, recorder. And do you remember how I edited? This is
in the camera.
No, I didn't edit.
How did you do it? That's what we did.
Do you remember the dual VCR players? You actually had two that you could like pirate movies with?
Yeah, I didn't have that, but I remember that. Yeah.
So one of my friends had one of those.
Wow.
So what I would do is put where we shot all our footage in one side, put down the tape in the other, and then when I found the thing I wanted, I hit record on the one side and then record that scene onto it.
Yeah.
And it actually, like, they were good little movies.
Yeah, we had no room to play. Like, it was like, you had to just, I was doing it in the stupid, there was like a take, and then we'd be like, all right.
That take sucked. We got to rewind and go back.
Yeah, like, that's the only way I could do it with me and my brother. That's what I, because I had my brother, and me and my brother used to do that for years when we were growing up. But it was like ridiculous. Like, there was no.
Well, I was lucky. I had like about 10 to 8 boys my own age in my neighborhood. So
lucky. Girls don't like this shit. Like, they don't. Like, they didn't like want to do this. They would like, you know, entertain it for a minute, but I feel like.
No, they usually didn't.
I feel like I had to find guys, you know? That's why my brother was really helpful. It was like, all right, we got to figure this out.
Get your boys. Get the boys in here.
Yeah. When I went to film school, like, it was like mostly guys. I think there were like 2 girls that I even knew in my class. It's not a heavily woman. I don't know why. Maybe it's different today, but at least then it didn't feel like.
It was that way for me. I mean, do you ever see the movie Super 8?
Yes.
And like the band.
Awesome.
The band of kids going, they had the same thing. They had a hard time finding one girl who could be in the movie.
Right.
And that's, they had to hold on to her like grim death, you know? Like, we have to keep her in it.
She's the one girl.
She's the one girl who can act.
That's it. Yeah. Anyway. So we've gotten off Jaws. It's okay. So it's just so many great things. So what are some other like key scenes in that movie that you like really love? Like, let's talk about the parts in the movie you love.
Okay, let's talk about things that went wrong that made it great.
Yeah, cool. Yeah,
so let's go to the barrels.
Yes.
Do you know about the barrels?
I don't know about the barrels.
All right. So you know how they shoot the barrels into the shark?
Yes.
So what we talked about, the shark didn't work. And the schedule kept going down and down. Like, we only have a month. We only have a week. We only have this.
Oh, my God.
So they had to figure out, like, well, we can't get the shark to work. How are we going to show what the shark is doing? So they did research, and they found that actually, like whale hunters and shark hunters use this barrel method to draw them up to the surface. So Spielberg thought this is the perfect answer to their problem where wherever these barrels are, since we don't have the shark working, we can show where the shark is.
Yeah.
And it actually ended up being a much more disturbing thing because you would see the barrel show up, but you wouldn't see the shark. So it was this thing underwater that you didn't see. But in the script, the shark's supposed to be everywhere. You're supposed to see him, you know, hitting the boat, doing all this. But because the shark didn't work and they had to use barrels, it's a much stronger film because of it.
Yeah. And I think that's the cool thing about being creative and being able to think about how to translate stuff to the audience without, you know, I always think that's more effective in movies anyway. And I always think of movies like Pulp Fiction where our minds are creating more about like what's frightening than what you could possibly show us. And some of the most effective movies do that where like they don't actually show you the moment or they just use these other little things to set up that story. And that barrel thing is exactly that. I was like, I think that the movie's so great because you really don't see the shark most of the time.
Yeah.
You just don't.
It just that's one of those happy accidents that happened
it's
that
awesome.
Made it better.
And he's so smart to be able to put that together and then use the barrels to create the sense of like now these guys are trapped on this boat and they're trying to kill it and it's like now we're getting a sense of what's happening.
And even the barrels add to the adventure because they have to shoot the barrels in the way they're chasing this thing down.
Oh,
and
I
it's
love
like
it, so
it just
much.
Makes it, you know, like the Williams score comes in and it's all fun and it's like, oh, that's right. This isn't just a horror film. This is an adventure film.
There's
well.
Like happy moments in the movie. It's not like you just get on this path and it's like dark. There's like so many. And Richard Dreyfuss, like, oh my God. I can't tell you how much I love him in this movie. Like,
oh, he's great.
He's like my favorite. He's so many great lines and he really, I don't know. You always wonder like what would that movie have been like without those people in it? And
I don't know because
I'm curious.
So much behind the scenes stuff is they, so Rob Schneider got along with everyone, but Robert Shaw and Dreyfuss hated each other.
Did they really?
They hated each other.
Maybe that's
and
obvious.
You can see it on the screen. Like
they
really do. Like Robert Shaw. So Richard Dreyfuss was the new type of method actor.
Okay. So isn't he like British?
Oh, and I'm sorry. Richard Dreyfuss was a new type of method type actor.
And
where,
he was young, wasn't he?
He was
young like in American Graffiti. Like he was like a young guy too.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And method acting was kind of a new thing.
Right.
And Robert Shaw was your classically trained Shakespearean actor.
Oh,
and
yes.
They essentially hated the method. They hated that. They just thought like, just go and be the part. You don't have to be the part all the time. Be, you know, like that's kind of what the whole method thing was. Like you're always in character, essentially.
It's just part of who you are.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And so Shaw was from like the old British stage. Like, this is, you guys are just a bunch of pretentious assholes. Let's just, you drink
you
heavily.
You kids today, you don't know what's going on here.
You know your lines, you drink heavily, and then you do your scene.
Right.
That's how you do
Get
it.
Get out of my way. Let me do it.
So, because Robert Shaw is kind of like this big, super masculine man, and Dreyfuss is not.
Yeah.
Very, very not. So, he would make him like do things and pretty much call him a pansy for not doing it. Like, hey, climb to the top of the boat up there. I bet you can't do it. And he's like, no, I don't want to. He's like, yeah, because you're not a man. You can't do it.
My God.
And so this is what they did. Even like,
but that must have helped oddly because they had that tension the whole time, which was like, they don't like each other. And
even the cup scene where he crushes the styrofoam cup.
Yes.
That was completely improvised because they hated each other. That was actually something they were doing.
God, I love it.
And then
it.
Spielberg saw it and was like, that's in the film.
Yeah.
That's really great.
Wow.
Yeah. So that's...
That's awesome.
Yeah, there's a lot of that.
There's a lot of... I love Quint. I love the scene, you know, where everybody's at the town, the chamber or whatever, and
y'all
they're all trying...
Me.
Yeah, yeah.
Know
and he's
how
this,
I make a living.
The fingernails on the chalkboard. You know, and he's just like... Just laying it down. I read something. I did look up a little bit of notes. There are some funny things. Because he's always eating crackers.
Yeah.
Did you notice that? Do you know the thing with that?
Apparently, I don't know that.
I looked up why does he do that, and apparently he came up with it. It was like a character trait that he wanted to add to his acting. He said, I want to be nibbling on something like a shark the whole time. Huh. So he decided to bring in saltine crackers and just be eating them all the time, which I was kind of like, why is he always eating crackers? What's he eating? But that was cool. And I'm going to make a funny statement now because I'm jumping around, but... what is going on with the time of year? Everybody's like swimming and they're in bathing suits, but at the same time, they're in turtlenecks. Like, I was kind of like, is it cold or is it hot? Like,
well,
is this a mistake? Like,
it's
what happened?
4th of July and it's Martha's Vineyard, so
oh,
it's
so
way
it's cool?
up there. It's cold.
So,
were
these people swimming in kind of cold water?
I think just because you
I was wondering
did
that.
Yeah.
Is that what they did? Because I kept saying, like, okay, now they're in sweaters and jackets. Like, what's
I think it
happening?
Just gets really cold at night. Also, they're in the off season too. I think you
is
know?
That
I
why
think they're actually
I
filming
kept,
in the off season?
Yeah, I wasn't like trying to make a problem, but I was like, why is that happening? That doesn't make any sense to me. But I don't know Martha's Vineyard, and it's obviously Amityville's a fictional town, right? So it's not like it exists anyway. It's just
the
supposed to be
are just
any
much
beach
different.
Town.
You know, like I had to go film in Maine recently, and you know, the day is relatively hot, but once it got to be nighttime, it's like you needed a coat. Like it just got so cold at night, it was crazy. Like it's just from being up north.
Yeah.
So that's that. Have you? I still want to go to Martha's Vineyard. I have not done that yet.
I've never been there.
They have a film festival there.
Do they?
And I'm not. It's pretty much the goal for myself is I'm not going to visit it until I'm in that film festival. Then
Damn,
I'll go visit.
That's
it.
A good goal.
Yeah. You know, it's like.
Do it. I love that.
That's
kind
of
awesome.
One of the reasons I enter a lot of film festivals. It gives me an excuse to go to these places and check out the towns.
Man, I never even thought about that.
Yeah, it's
That's
nice.
That's a great idea.
It gives you a reason to go do it. Yeah. Also, I think it's really important to be in film festivals because you see yourself against other peers.
Mm-hmm.
And that is one of the most, like, humbling, like, oh, I'm not as great as I think
right.
I am.
This
person was much more talented than I am, you know?
Because
so many kids that, you know, I hate to say just kids, but they send it, like, they do their videos, they do stuff they think is great, they put it on YouTube, and everyone gives them, like, the positive feedback. They live in their own little bubble.
God, that's so interesting. I didn't even think about that.
Yeah, because everyone's like, oh, my God, you did so great.
Yeah,
you know?
It's
like,
everybody's full of it. Yeah,
the Facebook feedback where it's like, you're the best. You're the one.
I want to bring this up to you because I've brought this up with a couple people.
Sure.
Like, we do live in a world where you don't have to go to the theater.
Yeah.
And I think seeing a movie in a theater is important.
I do. Yeah.
Because how do you know how people receive it? Like, so, and I kind of miss that that's not a thing. I mean, I know obviously people go to the movies here. They're busy all the time. But I do talk to some people who, especially younger people, like you're saying, people like, you know, in their 20s.
They don't watch movies.
They don't watch movies and they don't go to the theater as much as like maybe somebody who's older would. And I think that's a shame. Like you're missing out on an experience of like being in a crowd of people.
And also like my students, they don't see films. And I'm like, how are you going to be able to tell a story?
No, it's crazy to me.
Yeah.
It's crazy.
You can't tell a story unless you know, unless you watch films. Like watching a short film, you could learn something, but the really long storytelling, that's where you should get your basis.
I'm with you, but maybe we're old. Are we old?
Well, we are. I mean,
am I old? I don't get it. I don't know.
Like, we have a lot
it's
of energy
upsetting.
For older people, but
yeah.
I'm gray as hell, and we're old.
I
that's
guess.
Just the way it is.
And then
you know?
I wonder, like, did they think that about us, like, people like my grandparents? Because, like, you know, maybe they would see those old movies and they're like, ah, today, you know, the movies are crazy.
Oh, yeah, we are falling right into the same category.
Is that what it is?
Yeah.
And then I love that there's so much, like, you can put it on YouTube. You can just, like, get your stuff out there. But, like,
you just live in this bubble, though.
Yeah, you really do. And I that's why I love going to the movies. And I love being in a crowd. Like, I miss that, too. Me and Stella were watching Jaws yesterday. And I thought, there's that scene at the end where they finally, you know, he kills the smile, you son of a bitch. And he, you know, poof. And I'm like, man, I wonder if people cheered in the theater like
oh,
that.
Yeah.
Well, I'm sure they did. Like,
but
does
then,
that even happen anymore?
After you have that huge moment, you just get this really great scene of them just slowly swimming to shore. And actually, like, I made this film called The Detector where I was trying to figure out how to end it. Like, because it had, like, a big kind of, like, boom kind of ending.
Oh, cool.
And it just, when I watched the first cut, I was like, it needs something more. And then I saw that, I watched Jaws again because I watch it every year. And I saw that ending where they're just kind of drifting away and just having like just trying to figure out what day it is and just having like a nice little conversation. So I went back to the scene. I was like, you know what? The two heroes have to like, they're all beat up. Let's have them walk back to their car slowly and talk to each other like normal people and kind of have it end that way. And it was just a much better way to do it.
It's cool. And then you wonder like, am I like barring that from all the things I've seen? Like that scene reminds me of like Casablanca.
Yeah.
There's that, because even if you haven't seen Casablanca, most people know that line, you know.
Well, let's admit
this is the beginning of a beautiful friendship, and the two guys walk away, and I'm like, that's kind of what that scene is.
Yeah.
And I'm like, well, maybe he's borrowing from that, you know. And
I don't think there's an original thought out there
anymore. No,
I think we're
all
borrowing, but that's okay.
No,
like,
I think we're
making something from something else's work, but we're putting on our own spin on it.
That's right. So, like, there's no new stories, right? They're just all being revamped and rechurned.
Like, yeah. There isn't a new chord out there.
Yeah.
Like, you're just figuring out new ways to make a new chord.
True.
Well, a variation on the old chord.
Yeah. And that's what makes it fun.
Yeah.
It's like you get to have your take, which is really cool. Man, I'm trying to think what else to talk about here, Rob. I talked about the sweaters, which was dumb.
That's okay.
I love the scene where he gets to finally look at the shark, or not the shark, but the body, the remains of the body, which, by the way, are in like a bucket, which is so funny to me. It's like, let's go look at it. And he puts on the little, Richard Dreyfuss is you know, now arrived into town. He's the...
Puts the water on his face and, you know, has to do
yeah,
the
and he's awesome, by the way, because it's just like he's you're talking about with the barrels, because so much of those moments, you don't see a whole lot, but his reaction, the way that he presents and is able to show you, like, what that feels like is enough, because he's, like, kind of can't breathe, he's, like, sweating, he's, like, really having a hard time doing this kind of autopsy report on this situation. It's like he's CSI. It kind of reminds me of Silence of the Lambs. Like when she's in there doing that whole like with the recording,
sure,
you know, it's like very similar to me. Even that movie was like so much later, but it's kind of the same. And but you don't need much. You don't need to see much of the parts. You don't. It's really he's carrying that entire scene, and it's a great. It really raises the stakes of the whole thing because at that point they're still kind of going.
They're still flailing, trying to figure out what to do, and then he shows up, and you know.
Right, right. I might even have here. Let's for fun. I might even have the quote. Do I have the quote? Maybe. I try to pull these quotes.
Well, this was not a boat accident.
Yeah, I think.
There's no propeller.
Man.
No.
This could be it. Hold on. Let's see. Is this it? Let's try to play it. It might not be loud enough. Let me try. This is sorry. I do this every time.
Technology.
Will you play? What happened? It doesn't want to play. Oh, my God. Sorry. Technical difficulties. Somebody tried to call me. No.
That's okay.
You know the line.
Yeah. I mean,
what does he say?
Can you get off and check out these waters? No. Well, this is not a boat accident. There wasn't any propeller. There wasn't any... Can you get off and
check? Oh, they cut it off. You know, it's hard in my job trying to find quotes off the internet. I really should just take it from the movie.
Well, the rest of it was...
Yeah, go.
This was not a propeller. There was no coral reef. And then he puts water in his face. And
yeah.
That was a shark.
And it's not Jack the Ripper.
Yeah, Jack the Ripper. Good call, yes.
And it's not Jack the Ripper.
It's not Jack the Ripper.
Which is a great line.
That is a good line.
Yeah, and it brings everything home. It's like, okay, here we go. And then another one, God, this could go on forever, this podcast, but another one of my favorites, and my kids know I love this. I don't know why I love it so much, is when the little boy gets killed, and then there's like the mother, and now they've caught the tiger shark. You know, all the guys go out and they try to catch the shark. And then it's like this moment of like relief where Brody's like, all right, we got the shark. It's done. It's over. Yeah. You know, it's great. And then Richard Dreyfuss is there with the measuring and he's like, and he's not kind of saying it yet. But he, you know, he has that moment of kind of relief. And then right at that moment where you think like maybe he's going to like be done with this whole situation and not have to do anything else, the mother in her black outfit comes walking up to him. And she just is like, you knew, and you let my kids in that water, you know. And then she slaps him across the face. And I don't know why the slap is like my favorite part.
Well, 'cause it's real. She slaps him.
She slaps him like really hard. And then he's like, fuck, I can't let this go. You know, I can't let this go.
She was just a local, too. She was actually just a local.
Oh, was she really?
She wasn't an actress. She was just a local.
Yeah, how nuts. She was great.
Yeah, she's great.
She was great. And that was such a great little moment. You know, that storytelling, which is like...
And Richard Dreyfuss watching it, like how brutal that was. And that's why he brought over the wine later. Yeah. You know, they have it.
And he's now, like feeling for this guy. He's like, all right, dude, I'm sorry. This is a tough one, you know, but...
And again, why the book sucks. In the book, when he brings over the wine and starts talking, that's when their affair starts.
Oh my God.
So, but the, you know.
Jeez. Yeah. Maybe, and I think it's hard, like, because if you read that book after you saw the movie, you can't even experience it the same way, right? Yeah.
Because, like, the marriage between Brody and his wife is just, like, such a good marriage. Like, it's, you don't see a lot of great marriages on, like, on TV and film. Like, they usually are not portrayed well.
Yeah.
And it was just nice to see, like, they're an actual, like, they look like an actual married couple, the way they're talking. Like, it is, there's
it
a natural
real.
Give and take to how they are. It isn't just, like, these manufactured lines.
I know. There's so much that's not said. It's awesome.
That's great that way.
I love this movie so much. There's too many things. There's the shooting star thing. Did you know about that?
Yes.
That's real.
That's real.
It's so weird.
Isn't that cool?
Yeah. I wonder if that was like an omen for like Spielberg, that he needed like a little bit of like, hey, it's okay. It's going to be all right. Don't worry.
It's just it came right at the perfect time. It's kind of crazy.
It's really weird.
But it looks like a special effect, doesn't it?
It really looks fake. I was going like, that doesn't look real at all.
Like, why would they add that?
Yeah, so we're talking, there's a scene where the it's towards the end. Isn't it where he loads his gun or something?
Yeah, he's loading his gun. It's like right after the big Indianapolis speech and the shark.
Oh, the Indianapolis speech.
It's like, yeah. We go into that next.
Yeah, we can talk about that.
We can talk about that.
Yeah, that's a good one.
So the shark is attacking the boat and they're out just trying to shoot the shark and eventually, you know, Brody is getting his gun out and the shark stops and there's this quiet moment and then the shooting star goes like right over his head.
It's crazy.
So it's kind of like watching, it's like, why would they spend the money for just that? That
seems I know,
like,
I was thinking that.
But it's a real shooting star.
Sometimes things just happen.
I'm pretty sure they had to brighten it up way in post. That's why it kind of looks slightly fake. That's my guess, just because.
Yeah, and maybe you know what's cool? I just had a moment where I just had a thought where I was thinking like a little more background on this. I think you obviously know more than me. But so originally the idea to do this on actual water was like crazy. So, you know, I guess at the time they would do a movie that was supposed to be on water, like in a fake tank.
Yeah.
And they wouldn't, you know, so Spielberg's like, no, we're doing this on the water. Okay, this is before he got into it, but he was like, no, I want it to look real. I want it to be in a real location. That would never have happened. Like, no. Maybe that was like a cool little moment to say, like, this is okay. It's cool what you just did. You know, like, this has been hard, but it's going to be important that you did it. Yeah, you decided to do it this way.
And we haven't even discussed that because they shot the whole thing on the water. And that's
crazy.
Like
crazy.
That which is crazy.
Like, do they do that now? Like, you might, I don't know enough now.
Not really.
Today.
I mean, especially with like mechanical things. That's right. Why the shark didn't work, because it worked in freshwater tanks, but the salt killed it. That's why they couldn't make it work, because of the salt water.
Wow.
There's only one scene in Jaws that is filmed in an actual tank.
Oh, really?
Yeah. And so this is kind of cool.
Now
so the scene where Richard Dreyfuss and Brody go out in his boat and they find the other fisherman's boat where the head comes out of the bottom.
Yeah, yeah.
That wasn't in the movie or the cut. But when Spielberg saw it in front of an audience the first time, he's like, I want one more scare. I need one more scare for the audience. So he had a friend who had a huge pool. So they just got a boat, put that in the pool, and actually, like, remade that scene happen.
Wow, I didn't know that.
Yeah,
yeah.
Like, that's he just wanted one more scare.
That's cool. And yeah, there weren't that many like scare moments, really. Most of it's like just subtle stuff that you're like, oh my god, you know.
And I could get like being a director watching the back of the audience, seeing something work, where it's like, ooh, I can get one more. I can get one more like jump scare from these people and really get them. You know, that'd be great.
God, the power. I wish that's just such a cool thing to be able to do.
Yeah, I know.
To be in his position, even though I know it's like, it was a tough one.
Even though it's not that far off from the kind of stuff we would do, where it's just like, I know a guy with a pool. Right. And that's essentially what it is. Like, I know
like,
a guy with a pool.
We could do that. I just need a head. That.
Yeah.
That could happen. Let's make it happen.
Fake head and all that. Yeah. And there's so many times where it's like, you know, well, I need to shoot this scene in a restaurant. I know a guy at the restaurant. Let's go do it there.
But like what I think about today, and I wonder, because I don't know, like how much is just being done on like a computer now? Like, because now you can create so many things with special effects that you don't need to have an actuality, you know, to do it. Like, I feel like the indie filmmakers and the people with no money are kind of making like what you just said. It's like, we'll get a guy and we'll get a pool and we'll make it. Well, thank God for that, because that's so awesome just to be able to do it that way. But you wonder about big movies if they're just skipping that step now. It's like there's so many ways to recover and just say like, oh, we'll just, you know, boop, done.
The best special effects are obviously the ones you don't notice.
Right.
And a lot of like the movies that we love tend to have like special effects in there that we don't notice. And that's the, you know, that's kind of the great thing. Like, essentially, like if you see a major studio movie now, and if there's a helicopter in the sky, that is not there.
Yeah.
That is digitally put in. But you wouldn't notice it, because it's just something about like machines and things like that they look realistic and you can do them well. But now you get a person. You put a CGI person in there, that's when it starts to fall apart.
I wonder if there's something, and this is a question for a filmmaking person, is it too easy for these sometimes now? Because
I think so, yeah.
Like, you know, just the sheer fact that this all had to happen allowed him to be more creative and then come up with ways to storytell without having the easy out, which is like, oh, we'll just have the shark swim around. Like, we'll just do that. And you wonder, would he have done it totally differently, which he probably would have.
He probably would have, yeah.
He would have. If he did it today. And then, but look at all these amazing things that we love about this movie.
Because it didn't work.
Because he couldn't do those things. So you wonder, like, are we missing something now that it's so easy to kind of create all these fantastical things that you couldn't do?
I mean, still great movies can be made, but there's certain things that you lose that because everything can be made. Like,
I think so too.
Like, let's bring up like our cell phones, which someone from California's calling me, so fuck them.
they are always at us, our cell phones.
Yeah. But
what can we do?
Like,
yeah,
I always bring up cell phones as one of the things that kind of the technology that hurts us, in that it's so hard to write adventure films for now, because so many things that would happen to make an adventure film, like kids going on a quest and going to just go have fun in like the Goonies type way.
Right.
That really wouldn't happen anymore, because everyone has a cell phone. So they can always find out whatever they want at any time.
Oh yeah. Like, you can just look it up.
Yeah. Look it up, or you call, or you do, like,
it's so true.
You're never on your own.
You're never like really stuck.
Yeah, you always have a lifeline.
God, that's crazy. I didn't even think about that.
It's so hard to make movies now like that way.
Wow.
Even if they're out on their own, like, you know, someone there has a cell phone, you know.
Yeah, yeah. That's a bummer.
Yeah.
But they're smart kids getting around it, I'm sure. Do you want to talk about Indianapolis real quick?
Yes.
The story of the...
Yes.
Because we're going to... Like, this could be a 3-hour podcast with me. I have all these notes, like... the beautiful shots of Quint on the boat, like where he's at the bow of the boat and it's the sunrise, sunset, and he's whistling. I love the whistling because sometimes that's eerie. It's like it's quiet and he's just like singing that song that he sings and he's whistling and you kind of get like a uneasy feeling around that. And I was like, I had Danielle on. I'm like, I should have her back to talk about composing because I love the way they use music in certain movies and the way they don't, which is like the coolest thing ever. The barrels, I wrote the barrels down. You already talked about the barrels. And the scene where Quint busts the radio, Brody's trying to call.
Yeah.
That's fucking crazy. But I want to go, sorry, see, I'm tangent.
Well,
tangent.
No, we can go on that just because Quint is supposed to be Ahab.
Yeah,
so,
yeah. And the boat is named Orca.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So it's kind of, he has to defeat this animal.
Yeah.
And anyone who tries to get in his way... He will stop it. Hence, like, you know, like when his, you know, his wife is calling, is like, I haven't seen anything yet. Having a great day. You over and out, and you know, throws it down and goes, and goes and. Right. I kind of thought that was pretty good. I think I
that was
that.
Good. Yeah. You were good, man.
Yeah, I do a lot of.
I was going to bring a script in, but I know I didn't want to like make you stress out. I didn't do it to you this time.
Oh, that's right. The script. Yeah.
Yeah,
we
I didn't
about
do
that.
The cold read. I didn't want to do it to you.
Thank you.
But I'm glad because I know we've so much to say. So I was like, that's not necessary for this.
So
yeah,
we'll
so the Indianapolis story, we'll just share that real quick. Yeah.
Well.
What do you want to say about it?
One of the things that's really cool is, one, it wasn't in the script. This is one of the things they saw. They saw a weakness was that the characters didn't have any time together. So they came up with this speech. And it was Spielberg's idea to bring up the Indianapolis. It's like, no one really knows this because Spielberg was a really huge World War II guy.
Okay. Yeah.
He's like, no one knows about this story. It's a great story. And it's like a really crazy shark story.
It's a crazy story.
Yeah.
It's terrifying.
And so they wrote it. And then the night before, Shaw got it. And it's like, you know what? I'm going to make some changes and I'm going to do some things. But tomorrow I'm going to come in ready. And I want you guys to be ready because I'm going to come in
and do the scene.
Do it.
Yeah.
And what that meant was he was going to drink.
Oh.
So. If you see, there's two essentially two different shots in the film, and half of it is Shaw hammered beyond belief.
Wow!
And the other,
I didn't know this.
Yeah, like they actually had to carry him off set.
Oh my god!
He couldn't, you know, he couldn't walk. He was so. There's certain ones you see, like his eyes are completely glass. Like he is just. Drunk.
I mean, he kind of seems drunk the whole time.
Yeah, really he did drink the entire movie. Like I said,
really?
He's a very classic. Shakespearean actor, they all drank. That was kind of like, you know.
Let me get a bottle of whiskey.
Yeah, like Laurence Olivier and all of them are
they're just huge
drunks.
It's so bad.
That's
oh,
how they were.
Oh, man.
And which, again, this is why Shaw and Dreyfus kind of hated each other because Shaw drank because that's how he was in character and Dreyfus wanted to be in character and just be the essence of the character. And Shaw's like, you're wasting everyone's time. What are you doing?
And they're both great, so I can't even argue with either of it.
No, it all works.
It all works. Although I still love Dreyfus. I think he's like, you know.
Well, they're perfect because they're both, like, Dreyfus is the young, smart, hotshot, and Quint is the old school, like, this is the better way. No, I have the better way. And, you know, they both work well.
They do. But that is a crazy story, and it brings up for me a few scenes where they pull out some real stuff. There's a scene early on where Brody, after the shark attack, is home, and he's looking through a book of, like, real pictures of real shark attacks, which was, like, so orchestrated, because whatever kind of moment you think this is just a movie, you're looking at, like, now real people and, like, what it looked like for them to get attacked by it, which is kind of upsetting. It's, like, really scary.
Yeah, flipping through the book.
Yeah, he's, like, looking through the book, which gives you a very real sense of this thing, and then I'm going somewhere with that. Now I've lost my mind.
The kid in the boat.
Why did I bring this with Indian? Oh, and then you get the story of the Indianapolis, which actually is a real story, which isn't, it makes you go, holy shit, again. Like, this is no joke. Like, we might have a happy moment on this boat right now, but let's not forget everybody.
Yeah.
This is what can happen to you with sharks, and we're on a boat right now. So it's perfect. It's
and
like
it
perfect.
Really explains Quint's craziness.
Yeah, it really does.
Like, because if he just had that, it was crazy. Like, a prime example. So, Game of Thrones.
Yes.
Did you watch Game of Thrones?
I did.
So, the ending where Khaleesi kind of turns evil.
Yeah, what was that?
They didn't do enough work on it. So, yeah, like, they didn't give enough time to let her...
It felt, really unfinished to me. Yeah. But, yeah.
And that is a prime example of not spending the time to make that character's change worth it. But in this, since Quint had that long speech, and when he decides to essentially commit suicide by driving the boat into the ground so they can't get in.
Nuts.
It makes sense. You're like, why is he doing that? Oh, because he doesn't want to give up. Like, he knows if he gets in, that his hunt is done.
Right.
Like, this shark is won. But if he kind of wrecks the boat, that gives him a chance to still kill this shark.
Yeah, and that's why he smashes the radio.
Yeah, that's why he smashes the radio. He does all those crazy
things.
You're
like, what the fuck is wrong with this guy? Oh my God, right?
So here's a weird fact for the ending.
Yeah.
Originally, Quint doesn't get eaten. He does die. But
oh, I didn't know this.
They have him actually die like Ahab, where he gets tangled up in all the ropes around the shark that have all the...
Oh, wow.
So eventually, like, Quint is, like, you know, crucified on the side of the shark.
Ouch.
All drowned and tangled up in the ropes.
Yeah.
And they couldn't really figure out how to get that to work. And so he gets...
It's such a better gory ending, isn't it? I mean,
just him stabbing the shark.
Oh, my God. It's great.
Yeah.
It's great.
It's just
the movie is so good. I could watch it like 100 times.
And in the book, Dreyfus dies.
He does.
He does.
I know. He kind of just like snuck out under the rock, under the water. He's like, doo, 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 doo. No one will find
still
me.
Sneaky.
And then he comes popping up at the end.
And I love that just the, he's like, Quint, no.
No,
and
right.
And I just love that. It's
That's
so
it.
Economical.
It's great. And then they're like, what day is it? Is it Monday?
It's Tuesday.
No, it's Tuesday. It feels very Casablanca to me. It feels very
like... You think
the
tide is with us? Just keep kicking.
Just keep kicking. Yeah. And Stella's like, how far away are they going to make it? I'm like, it doesn't matter.
It doesn't matter.
It doesn't matter. We know. You know, it's like happy. There's like seagulls, you know. It's like everything is...
What if there's another shark?
God. I mean, and the shark had such a brain. Like, I know the movies take it even farther, the sequels, like where the shark follows them to another...
That is
location.
Revenge. Yeah,
I mean,
that's
it's like a ghost
one.
That doesn't stop, you know, one of those movies. It becomes this like crazy monster that would never happen, you know. But yeah, we love that movie for so many reasons. Oh, man. I don't know what else to say.
Any more notes? Because I can go. But
I don't know
what
other notes I have.
It's
been an hour, dude. Do you guys love this? This is like a long time. There's great shots. I mean, I love the close-ups. There's a lot of close-ups. I noticed we're like kind of here. It's like you're right there, which is even cutting off. It's like when you watch 60 Minutes and they just get closer and closer to people's faces. But I think it's necessary.
Well, that's also a big Hitchcock thing too. Like Hitchcock was one of the first guys that really took the camera to that. So Spielberg is essentially Hitchcock with motion.
Oh, I love it so much because I love Hitchcock. Yeah.
It's kind of like Hitchcock was so amazing at framing and having, you know, moving slowly in.
Yeah.
Spielberg came in and took those shots, but gave it almost more of a handheld action to it that was not quite seen. But still, the way he did it was still so meticulous. It wasn't like slapdash in any way.
No. He does. It never looks like that. It doesn't. It always looks very like, you know, clean and like purposeful.
Yeah.
But I love that. I love that you're just kind of right there with these people. It's just... That's just one other thing that I wrote down. God, I might have gotten through all my notes. That's sad. I could probably have more notes.
Well, that's okay. I mean,
it's okay. You know, listen, guys, we love this movie.
I do love this movie.
You guys obviously, you know, Rob, why don't you plug real quick the Revival House this week?
Yes,
because
that's
if anybody hears it, they should know.
They should know that we have our trailer contest.
They need to know. Yes.
This Wednesday night at the Milton Theater, I run this little geeky movie theater called the Revival House.
Love it.
And we had a trailer contest where we got $1,500 to give away.
How do you do that? I need to try harder.
I got a few people that will give me money, which is nice.
Nice.
But that's where I said the nonprofit helps. Because
if
it's a nonprofit, people will give a lot easier.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So anyway, I just locked down the money yesterday, so it's fine.
You did?
Yeah, I just did.
Okay.
I figured I could do it. If not, I would just chip in myself. And
I think it's great what you guys do because, you know, we do live in a small beach town, and I don't know who's making movies out there, but, you know, we need to support this art of filmmaking even here. And like, that's how it happens, you know?
Yeah,
like,
you need
that's,
to support your local artists, man.
You really do. And this is like it's very near and dear to my heart, the filmmaking thing and that community. And I love that you create an opportunity for people, you know, for anybody to just show up with something.
Because there's not a lot around here for filmmakers.
There's nothing.
Because there's a lot of art support around here, but not for film.
Yeah, I totally, like, I only knew about the film festival. And that's changed a lot over the years, I think.
Yeah, they don't even take local shorts
they
anymore.
They don't do local, they used to.
They don't take
I
anymore.
Actually had a short in the festival when
that's
I
the first time
moved
I was
here.
Ever shown anywhere. Was
that's
my,
crazy.
And, I don't know if I would keep making films if that didn't happen. That was such a huge thing for
me. It is a huge thing. And so you guys are providing like an awesome thing for people. And I think it's very inspiring. And look, it got me out of the closet. I was like not doing anything for the longest time. And I'm like, I should do something.
There is a look. Ocean City Film Festival is doing well.
Yeah.
That's a good
look. Okay.
Local
I wanted to check that out too. But yeah. I love that. I mean, we need people that love film and movies to support other people mm-hmm. that want to do this so they can have an audience too, you know? And it's a.
Delaware really needs it. Like, we have, there's a shortage of it. Like,
Yeah.
We just need to help, get as many festivals as possible.
Yeah.
I'm going to one Thursday.
Cool.
But it's called the First State Film Festival.
Where's Wilmington. That? Oh. When did you say Thursday?
Yeah. It's the first year they're doing it.
Oh,
so
cool.
They're trying to get it off the ground.
I got to go to more of these things.
You know, it's tough. We got a busy life.
I have a busy life.
You know, like I said, it gives you an excuse to get out and go to a new town sometimes.
No, I love that. And I love to watch films. Yeah. I mean, here I am. Welcome to
that
my
is,
podcast.
That is what your podcast is about.
Hello.
Assume, right?
Yes, hello.
I feel like we're kind of on to that. Yes.
Right? I feel like should I end with something fun?
Oh, you know what?
What?
Let's do the question I was going to ask.
Tell me.
Okay.
Yeah, go ahead.
So, when I was at a film festival, I think it was the Media Film Festival up in Wilmington. But anyway, it was when you get done, when you go to a film festival and your film is in there,
okay.
Many times you go in front of the audience and you answer questions about your film.
Oh, terrifying.
It is terrifying, but it's also a lot of fun.
It's like, I had no plan. I don't know what happened. I just did it. Sorry.
But I got one question that always stuck with me, and I've always really, I actually ask it of a lot of people.
Oh.
So the question was, what was the first film that you actually noticed filmmaking?
Ooh.
That you weren't just watching as a passive observer and just having a good time.
That's a tough one.
But when you thought about, like, I wonder how that was done, or, God, that's a beautiful shot. I wonder how they did that.
Oh, my God. I wish
and
I
got
could
mine.
Pull it. You know.
Oh, I know mine, yeah.
I don't know. I feel like it has to go back to, like, when I was 10, 11, 12. Maybe E.T.
E.T.?
Maybe, because that was the kind of movie that you kind of thought, like, well, how did they make the alien? And, like, you know, this running through in the beginning where you don't even see him yet. I think that I'd have to say that's a big one, because E.T. was a big pivotal movie for me that, like, made me love movies and want to make them more, like, with my, even goofing around with my brother.
Mm-hmm.
So obviously Spielberg, you kill it every which way. So that, I think that would have to be my answer, because, and also Indiana Jones movies. There was the advent, and I talked about this on another one of my podcasts that I did. For people like us that grew up in a different time, you know, first you just went to the movies. That was the only way you saw a movie. And then there was like, oh my God, VHS happened. First it was Beta.
Mm-hmm.
And I remember when my neighbor, because we didn't get it right away, but my neighbor had the first like VHS machine where you could watch a movie. And I think it was definitely one of those Indiana Jones movies. And we just would watch it 100 times.
Yeah.
Because we could.
Mm-hmm.
And so that had an impact on me too. So I would have to toss up those two movies to say I think those were the ones, especially Indiana Jones, just because there's so much action of like, how did they do that? And like, you kind of have to figure it out, right? Like when the guy like punched the airplane
scene.
Well,
you essentially just stole my answer. But yes,
did I really? Holy
yes,
shit.
That's my first. That was my answer. So
yeah, okay.
Also, you know, if you want to take this question and use it in all your podcasts, I'm not saying
it's a good question.
It's a good question. I really
it's
love this question.
I don't know if some people pay attention. And like, I love what I'm doing is I like to have every type of person on, because I feel like even though I come from a bit of a school of film, because I got into that, but some people don't know any of that stuff. And they just have the reasons why they love movies, and that the reason they feel connected to them is a little different than the technical, but that's just as important to me. And I always like to hear, like,
well, if
why?
You have another filmmaking type person on, that's a good question for them.
It is a great question. No, it is.
Someone who doesn't it just watches movies and enjoys them. No, that's not the question for them. But
they might notice certain things. Like, it's actually a good point. And I asked, because Danielle came on and we talked about some of her favorite movies, and she was saying that, like, you know, music has always been a thing for her. So something that she would notice early on is the music in a film, which is it's very unique to, like, her perspective and also, like, influenced her with music.
Yeah.
So that is kind of a technical thing. And she probably pays attention to it way more than we would, because that's what she does, is compose things.
Probably. But, you know, again, yes. I think we pay quite a bit of attention to
it. Yeah, a little, like, too much. Well, anybody who wants to try and make a movie from a young age, you're already in that space.
Yeah.
So you're like, how do I do that? How do I make it look like that? How do I, you know, and then you got to figure out all those pieces. But, well, dude, this has been awesome. Thank you so much.
Sure. This was fun.
We'll have to have you come back on. You know, I saw The Joker and I'm dying to discuss this movie, but
I might try to go see it today. I haven't seen it yet.
You should see it. Just see it. I mean, I know there's a lot of drama around this movie, but it's like, it's worth a see. So you got to see it.
Right now I'm looking at it and it just looks like they're trying so hard. I didn't see it. Like,
really?
It just looks like they're trying so hard.
You know, I saw it right away, so I got lucky before all this talk about it. And
well, I've been staying away from most of the reviews because I want to see it.
Yeah, because, like, I think I got lucky enough to have a fresh take on it before everybody started discussing it. And it really did affect me. I was kind of blown away by it. So
it just looks like a remake of The King of Comedy to me.
Oh, I didn't think about that.
That's what it just, every shot is like, isn't that just Scorsese's King of Comedy? It's
wow. The same thing. All right. Well, we'll have, guys, thank you so much, Rob. You're
sure,
awesome.
Thank you for
Go to
me.
Revival House, everybody. Listen to some of these other shows as well. We've got Anonymous with Jenna. We've got Rehoboth Social. We have this one, the Film Effect with Tim.
We're running out of fingers. Hold on. Let's
we have a got. Food. Gretchen has a food therapy, I think.
Oh, I didn't know that. That's
She's doing
cool.
So we've got, like, a good variety for you guys. And me and Tom get together and talk crazy shit.
I've been on Tom's twice.
It's almost as if there's, like, a split personality in me that when I sit in the room with him, I become, like, I don't know, man. It's like I get totally silly. I get really silly and I say the craziest things. But I love it and it's so much fun. So I hope you guys are enjoying it. Please follow us on all the media. Like us on Instagram, on iTunes.
On all that crap.
All the things. And I'm just going to leave you guys with this, if it actually plays, which hopefully it will. Hold on. And it's not doing it because it wants to think. You know, I don't know why it has to be so hard.
Do we have any bars here? Maybe that's it.
I have another way to do this. I just didn't want to have to do it this way. But, you know, we're just going to play something and it will be good at some point. Bye.
Oh, that was a good way to...